الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي خلق الذكر والأنثى من نطفة إلى تمنى، وأن عليه النشأة الأخرى، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا وحبيبنا وقائدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, we'll be talking inshallah in this meeting and the following meetings as time permits inshallah about al-huquq al-zawjiyya, spousal rights, the rights of the husbands upon their wives and the rights of the wives upon their husbands. As you all know, brothers and sisters, any institution, in order for any institution to run smoothly, there must be responsibilities assigned to every person in that institution. In fact, life, as we all know, in order for life to run smooth, there must be some responsibilities assigned. So every person has to have rights and has to have rights due upon him to others. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this world run. If anyone deviates, then definitely something will happen where the institution or even life will not be as smooth as it's supposed to be. Among the institutions that we care so much about and Islam mentions so much is the institution of the family. When we talk about the family, we're talking about husband, wife, and children. This is the cornerstone of any society. If you have that institution formed and run in a way where everyone has rights and understands those rights toward the other, and the other person understands the rights that are due upon them to the others, then this institution or the family will be definitely running in the best way, and it will be formed and it will be strengthened, and it will fulfill the purpose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended for us here in this world, which is to serve Him in the best possible way. There are rights for the husbands and there are rights for the wives. Initially, inshallah, we will talk about the rights of the wives upon their husbands as we see that in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Quran, Al-Kareem, and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how the ulama and how the Sahaba radiallahu anhum understood those rights and how they applied it. We'll shed some light on that inshallah as we go. The rights of the wives upon their husbands. A group of women complained about the way their husbands treat them. Some of them, they say that their husbands abuse them physically. Some say that they curse them. Some, they say they curse their families. Some say they really treat them in a horrible way. Some husbands isolate themselves from their wives for months, not caring for them, not fulfilling their rights, for ridiculous reasons, or something not even worth it. One of the sisters said, "Oh, you shuyukh, or scholars, you constantly talk about the right of the husbands upon their wives. You constantly say the woman's supposed to do this, supposed to do that to her husband, and very seldom or very rarely you talk about the rights of the wives upon their husbands." So here we are, inshallah, starting with those rights, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to what pleases Him, answering to the complaint of the sister and the sisters here. We'll talk about the rights of the sisters. And we say that number one thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established the family on basis of love and harmony. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمًا. Among the signs that leads to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His greatness is that He has created our mates from ourselves, and He had instilled love in our hearts for one another. So we may dwell, so we may live, so we may spend that family life based on love and harmony. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that this is a sign of His oneness, of His greatness, that He did so. What is the mawaddah and what is the rahmah that we're talking about? What compassion we're talking about? What mercy we're talking about? Here is how Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma understood that. The cousin of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يقول المودة حب الرجل امرأته والرحمة رحمته إياها أن يصيبها سوء. المودة, the word مودة, is the love of the husband to his wife. And الرحمة is his mercy to her, that no harm should, no harm can get to her or reach her. يعني to protect her from anything that might harm her. This is how Ibn Abbas understood this ayah radiallahu anhu. So every husband has to know what he has to do and what he has to provide for his wife. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us those rights clearly when he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ لَكُمْ عَلَى نِسَائِكُمْ حَقًّا وَلِنِسَائِكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ حَقًّا. You have rights due to you upon your spouse, and your spouse have rights due to her upon you. Very clear, straightforward hadith from the mouth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I want every husband, every believing husband to know that the wife whom under your control, your spouse who dwells with you, she is a trust. She is a trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trusted you with her. And you are responsible before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the day of judgment. So have you given her the rights that are due to her, or have you forgotten, ignored, and made her life miserable? So let us go and see what are those rights and see where you stand, if you have fulfilled those or you need to work on that. Number one, when we talk about the rights of spouses, we're talking about two rights. One is monetary and one is non-monetary. One has to do with money, the other one has to do with domain. We'll talk about each one of them individually. The monetary right, which is the dowry, it includes the dowry, the maintenance, and the dwelling, or the place of residence. Three things, and we'll talk briefly about those. The non-monetary right, which is al-adl fil qasm bayna zawjat, to be just and fair if you have more than one spouse. Remember, it's a deed. وَالْمُعَاشَرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and to dwell and live with your spouse with ma'ruf, which is what is known to be a relationship that is known to be good and fair among the spouses. وَعَدَمَ الْإِضْرَارَ بِالزَّوْجَ, and not to inflict any harm of the wife. And we'll talk about those kinds of harm that you may inflict, and we will talk about those in brief, inshallah. Let's talk about the monetary right that the wives have upon us. Number one, dowry. Dowry or al-mahr, as-sadaq. which is the money that the wife deserves from her husband simply by signing the contract of marriage or by consummating the marriage. Money is due to her, which is called dowry, or the sadaq, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named. And this is a must that is due to the wife from the wealth of her husband. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَآتُ النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْنَةً. نِحْنَة يعني عن طيب نفس. عَطِيَّة من طيب نفس. Give or offer women, referring to spouses, their dowry with full submission and with joy. Yani it's not like, don't feel like it's a burden upon you. Give it to her and be happy with that you are giving it to her. And this is a must, as we mentioned in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's talk a little bit when we talk about al-mahr. Why is it legislated? When we say, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, referring to marriage, لَا نِكَاحَ إِلَّا بِوَلِي وَشَاهِدَيْ عَدْلٍ. You cannot make marriage unless you have two witnesses and a wali. A wali, a person, a guardian for the wife, which can be her father if he's alive, or her uncle, or her older brother, or son, and such. From those immediate blood relationship to that woman from the male side. Why? Let us look at that. أول شيء إظهار خطر هذا العقد هذا العقد ومكانه. إظهار خطر هذا العقد ومكانه. يعني في الإسلام. To show the importance and the significance of this contract in Islam. It's not just something, sign a paper, and here we go. It's not. This is one of them. The second one, هدية للزوج للزوجة وتطيب لخاطره. It's a gift from the husband to his wife to comfort her. She is leaving her family, she's leaving her parents, she's leaving her home, and she's coming with him to a new home. So this is something to comfort her. The third one is إعزاز للمرأة وإكرام لها تستقل به لوحدها. This is an honor for the woman. And this is an extra support for her that she can have for herself only. Not for herself and her husband, for herself only. And finally, إظهار بأن الزوج قادر على النفقة. This is a sign that the man can really take care of his spouse. I have the money, here's a gift, I got some money, I will take care of you because she has rights upon that husband that has to be fulfilled, and those rights cannot be attained but from money. So these are things that the scholars understood from the legislation of the mahr for the woman. And one of the sisters, one brother told me that one sister accepted Islam, and she told him, I did say the Shahada, but I still not comfortable with the fact that a Muslim man can divorce his wife in court during her absence without her being there. And he told her, why you don't believe in that? Or why is it hard for you to believe? She said, because she needs to be there to fight for her rights. This is the mentality that all women nowadays are grown up with. This is also a sign how far they are from the teaching of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I can understand her because she's a new Muslim. But even old Muslims and people who burn as Muslim from their childhood, they still probably support that notion and think of it this way. The answer to that is, number one, the wife can do the same in cases of abuse, in cases of despised to the point that she cannot be with him, fulfilling the purpose of the marriage, which is based on love and harmony, as we said initially. If that cannot be attained, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a way out. I was making marriage the other day, and a couple of Christians with a husband came, and he said, one of them, he said, we don't have divorce. If you don't like your wife, you separate forever, but you cannot divorce. But if you separate forever, what's she going to be doing? See? From this, you cannot help but to say, Alhamdulillah, I'm Muslim. Alhamdulillah, I'm Muslim. Yes, Islam closed the gaps and made it real tight for divorce, but there is a way out. If the harmony is not there, there is a way out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِن يَتَفَرَّقَ يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلًّا مِنْ سَعْدِ. If they split and divorce, Allah will provide for each one of them from His abundance. Yani, it's not the end of the world if divorce happens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of both of them as long as they are seeking and following the right path. And this is the only way that this harmony can end by divorce, then let it be. This is what? Number two. Think of it this way. Going to court is not a joke. It's not something fun that a man and his wife has to go there for divorce and it's something going to be pleasant. You're going to lie and you're going to say so many bad things about someone whom you spent probably a great portion of your life. وَقَدْ أَفْضَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and you have opened literally yourself to one another. You're going there to stand opposing one another and fighting one another, ignoring all the goodness. Islam put extra emphasis on divorce to be kind, to run or to go through that contract with kindness more than marriage. أَوْ سَرِّحُهُمْ بِمَعْرُوبٍ. Ihsan. Ihsan is the highest level of goodness when you deal with divorce. وَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ أَتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا. If you give your wife a qintar, the greatest thing that people understand at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, if you gave your wife $1 million, don't ask for a penny back. وَكَيْفَ تَأْخُذُونَ. How can you ask for it back? And you have opened yourself to her, and she had opened herself to you, and you have made a great contract between you and her, based on love and harmony. You have rights and she has rights. How can you take it? It's not yours. الْمُسْلِمْ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمْ حَرَامٌ دَمُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعِرْضُهُ. The wealth of a Muslim brother is haram for you. And she is a Muslim sister. And she is your wife. So how can you take her money without lawful reason? So, why she doesn't have to be there? Because here is a good answer that strikes any questions like that and knocks it dead. Because Islam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the messenger of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have given the money, the wife, her rights already without going to court. Her rights are known. What she gets is already known. Doesn't have to be there. Doesn't have to humiliate herself. Doesn't have to lead it to court, to lie, to do all of those things and drag her to court and humiliate her. She can sit at home, sit assured, and get her rights without going to court. Her dowry is already set. And the delayed or the deferred dowry, she will get it when she gets divorced, whether she goes to court or not. Her money is her money. Anything she inherited is hers. Anything she worked for is hers. Islam already set that for her. Her husband cannot take anything from her and cannot oppress her in any way. So why does she have to go and humiliate herself? Why do non-Muslims go? because they got no rights unless they fight for it, unless they have documentation to prove it. Otherwise, they're gone in the street. Not so in Islam. So, dowry is not a condition for marriage, nor it is a pillar of the marriage contract. It is the outcome of the marriage contract. Meaning, if a person get married and there was no dowry mentioned, the marriage contract is fine and the dowry can be set by someone similar to that. Like we see someone who got married from a sister with her status, with her age, with her beauty, how much the dowry was set for someone similar to her, and then they will enforce that on the husband to pay for her. This is the understanding. So it doesn't have to be named before the marriage. It can be done after that. Either if he, as I mentioned, if he marries her by the contract or by consummating the marriage. This tells us Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, لَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِن طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ مَا لَمْ تَمَسُّهُنَّ. There is no blame upon you if you divorce women if you have not consummated the marriage, أَوْ تَفْرِضُ لَهُنَّ فَرِيضًا, or you have named a dowry for them. There is no blame on you. This tells us that marriage can be good and still without the dowry, but the dowry will be paid later on. This is something. Now, I want you to understand that when you pay the dowry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left it for us open. A husband can pay the dowry all in lump sum, advance, or he can pay some advance and some deferred. This is not a rule from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a rule that Allah left for us subhanahu wa ta'ala to decide. Bil ma'ruf. What is common and known among people, how they pay the dowry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then do it this way. And the way it is done, the husband gives some and defers some. But if you give it all, that's fine. If you defer all, is that fine? No, you have to give some advance. But keep in your mind, which many people don't know, the deferred dowry is due upon you in case of divorce or death. If you die or you divorce your wife, then that deferred is automatically and immediately given, or should be given for the wife. What people don't know is this is a debt, meaning that you don't have to wait for divorce or death. You can give it to her right now. You don't know after you die if she might get it or not, depending where you live and what rules are there. Back home, more than likely, they will get it. But here, knowing that people put their will, they can go and put their will there and deprive the woman from her dowry. Right or wrong? Anybody can do the will. So it is good for you to know that it is a debt and go ahead and pay it right now. If you have the money, remove that debt away from your shoulders. You'll make your wife happy. For one thing, she can enjoy the money while you're still alive, not after your death or after divorce. She takes the money and enjoy it. Give it to her from now, and it is something that you remove, because if you die and this right is not given to her, it's not too good. That's number one. The second monetary right for your husband upon you is a nafaqa, maintenance. The scholars, all the scholars, agreed that the maintenance of the wife is due upon her husband as long as she submits herself to him after marriage. If she refused, then there is no maintenance for her. This is a condition. Yani a man got married now. His wife refused to move to his house and wanted to stay and not giving him the opportunity to be with her like husband and wife relationship. Then what happens? She has no rights due upon him for maintenance. So that is number one condition. Also, if she refuses to obey him, not in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with what is known. If, for instance, she wants to go someplace, and he doesn't want her to go, not simply because he's a stubborn, mean husband, no, because he knows there might be some harm inflicted upon her. His right is to take care of her. His right is to provide for her and to make sure that she is safe. Not safe in this dunya, but safe in the hereafter too, as we will see, and we will go on with those rights. So if he tells her not to go and she insisted to go, maintenance is not due upon him to her until she comes back and fall in the same category that she was before, which listens to him, not in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is this maintenance due to her? Al-mar'a mahbusa lizawj. The wife is like she is jailed. I know that they probably will take advantage of that word and use it in a negative way, but having to be with her husband, and she cannot go to work, for instance, without his permission, then how can she support herself? It is due upon him to take care of her, because she can work based on his permission. If he doesn't allow her to work, she doesn't have any support. Therefore, he is in charge of that. Even if she has the money, and she is rich, he still have to support her. He still have to give her everything, and cannot say, use your money while you are richer, or you have more money than me. He cannot do that. This is the right upon him, regardless of her situation. So that is number one reason why the maintenance is due to her, because she is with him and cannot earn money to take care of herself without his permission. Also, for being his wife, for having the spousal relationship with her, for the enjoyment that the husband gets with his wife, this is also makes it due upon him to take care of her and to spend on her. This is another reason the scholars told us that. And the reason, many ahadith, if you read, when it comes to sexual relationship between husband and wife, all the ahadith points to us that a woman should fulfill the need, the sexual need of her husband, regardless in what position she is, as long as it is not haram. He even sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even if she is on the back of a camel, even if she is in the front of an oven, and oven, we're talking about oven, the old ovens where your whole body will be inside that thing and full of fire and such. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed to us so many ways that if the husband is in need for that desire, the wife has to fulfill it. Otherwise, she is committed a major sin, not a small sin, major sin. Which tells us here from that conclusion that women really are not like men when it comes to sexual needs. In other words, she can do it even if she doesn't desire it, contrary to men. And that is why she has to fulfill. If there is any harm on her, definitely Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not give that command. And this to tell us that the need for the husband or the need for men in general is far more greater than the need of women when it comes to a sexual relationship between husbands and wives. So all of those are bases for the maintenance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instated for wives due upon their husbands. When we talk about maintenance, what is maintenance? to provide for your spouse everything she needs when it comes to food and to when it comes to food and residence. All of those things has to be provided to her, whether she is rich, as we mentioned, or not. And for you not to be stingy when it comes to spending on her and her children. But how? According to your status, according to your wealth. If you are wealthy, you upgrade the spending. If you are poor, you spend within that limit, and the wife has to understand that. It's not like you don't have any money and the wife doesn't care, just go to the mall and buy left and right and says that it is your responsibility to spend on me and keeps burying him in debt, relying on the level of the wealth of the husband. According to that, you do and you give the spending. Also, when you talk about spending, Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, وَعَلَى الْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ رِزْقُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. This is an ayah addressing the husbands to take care of their wives and their children according to what is common and what is known. Hind bint Utbah, the wife of Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhuma, she came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time complaining about her husband. And she said, my husband doesn't give me enough money for myself and my children. Am I allowed to take money from him secretly, enough for me and for my children? She said, he's a very stingy person. He doesn't give me enough. Look what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her. He told her sallallahu alaihi wasallam, خُذِي مِنْ مَالِهِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ مَا يَكْفِيكِ وَيَكْفِي بَنِيكِ. Take from his money with fair, يعني fair enough to suffice you and suffice your children. He allowed her to take from his wealth without his knowledge. Now without his knowledge, you take money from somebody else, this is stealing. But not in this case, because she is taking her right. If you take my car, you steal my car, and you hide it, or you put it in your garage or somewhere, and I go and take my car back, Islamically, I'm not stealing, I'm taking my car back. So you do everything to get your right. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permitted her to take that. The rights are very clearly defined. A man came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, O Prophet of Allah, ما حق الزوجة أو زوجة أحدنا عليه. What is the right of the spouse of any of us upon us? He said, أن تطعمها إذا طعمت وتكسوها إذا اكتسيت ولا تضرب الوجه ولا تقبح ولا تهجر إلا في البيت. Listen to this. To feed her, if you eat and from what you eat, and to dress her from what you dress, يعني from the level of the clothes that you wear. ولا تضرب الوجه ولا تقبح ولا تهجر إلا في البيت. Do not hit her in the face, and do not insult her by cussing her. التقبيح يعني أن تقول لها مثلا قبحك الله. التقبيح is like to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you ugly, but this is يعني when you say it literally, it doesn't sound like that. قبحك الله, this is like a dua against her. You don't say that, and you don't seclude yourself, you don't isolate yourself from her bed, except in the house. يعني meaning you get mad at your husband. At your wife. And then you tell, you say, oh, well, one of the forms of punishment is to separate or to seclude yourself and isolate yourself from her. Some people, what they do, they go and get a room in the hotel. وَلَا تَحْجُمْ إِلَّا فِي الْبَيْنِ. يعني, if you want to do that, you do it at home. You don't leave the home. In fact, you don't even go to another room. You are in the same bed, but you just turn your back. You give her your back. This is enough insult and enough punishment to a believing woman. Yani this behavior is enough to make her come back and be right in the right way, living with her husband and giving his rights if she is shortchanging her husband. But remember what I said. This is for believing women. Some other women don't care. Some men, it's very hard for them to do. So this creates a major problem, because the man may be in need for his wife a lot more than, as we mentioned, she's in need for him. But at the same time, Islam doesn't want you to worship your desire. Yes, you are in need for sexual need from your spouse, Allah. So for you to turn your back is like a punishment to yourself. You're punishing yourself. But this is not so. Islam doesn't want you to worship your desires and to live for your desires. You need to be a man when time to be a man. You need to be in control. You are the driver. You are the captain. You cannot just simply say, oh, you know, I'm not the guy, it's very hard for me to do that. No, this is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. When it's time to be serious, you get serious. And this is another ayah here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gave the dowry for women, it is, as I mentioned, it is with pleasure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, if you give your wife the dowry, and she wants to give you some from it, or from her wealth, then accept it, and take it, and take it, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with it. So this is her money, she's willing to help you, fine. She's willing to give it all to you, fine. You don't have to reject it if you don't want to. It's up to you, but it is with her permission. And as we mentioned also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the time of divorce, if you divorce your wife, regardless what you gave her, you cannot, in dowry, you cannot take anything back. And there was an incident that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh, he wants to limit the dowry. And one woman was listening to him, and she interrupted him, and reject that rule that he is trying to implement. She told him, how can you limit something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left it so open? And she recited the ayah, وَإِنْ آتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. قِنْطَار يعني كمية كبيرة جدا, ليست محدود. If you give any of them قِنْطَار, a huge amount in صداق or in dowry, don't take anything from it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you give some of them this amount of money, this large amount of money, and you are going to limit it and to tell us how much maximum they can have, immediately Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh retracted this, yani what he was trying to do, and he said that a woman was right and Umar ibn Khattab was wrong. So he was trying to do something. This shows the justice of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh, and the smartness of that woman, and the courage that woman has to stand up and talk to Umar ibn Khattab and yani direct something that he could have made it Umar ibn Khattab a rule that would be in contradiction with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll give you a couple more inshaAllah. And we'll talk later time for the non-monetary rights. We want you as a husband to know that the wealth that you spend on your spouse and on your children is very rewarding. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا أَنْفَقَ الرَّجُلْ فَهِيَ لَهُ صَدَقَ. If you spend anything on your children, your wife, it's a form of charity. Just like giving it to anyone in the street, a poor and needy person. Not only that, but will tell you a bigger and a stronger hadith that will encourage you to do that. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, dinar anfaqtahu fi sabilillah, wa dinar anfaqtahu fi raqaba, wa dinar tasaddaqta bihi ala miskin, wa dinar anfaqtahu ala ahlik, a'zamuha ajran alladhi anfaqtahu ala ahlik. You give a dollar for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You give a dollar to free a slave. You give a dollar for a poor indigent person. You give a dollar to your family. You know, it's not a dollar, yani, amount of money, whatever the amount. The most rewarding one is the one that you give for your family. Think of that. Fi sabilillah, the sake of Allah, freeing a slave, a poor person, and for your spouse, the best one and the most rewarding one is the one for your spouse. The reason I'm mentioning those hadith because many people are so generous with everything else outside, with their friends, with anywhere they go, but when it comes to their family, especially their wife, they are so cheap. They count everything. Why you spend this? Why don't you get that? Why don't you? You're extravagant and this and that. And he is very extravagant outside. And this is most rewarding for him. Finally, the other right is the dwelling or the place where the wife needs to reside. This is a monetary right due to the wife upon her husband. And this is to prepare a house for her. A house, a fair house, depending on his status, house that is average, a house that has everything there for her, everything needed, and this is whether they have to rent or he has to buy, everything is due upon him to her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَسْكِنُهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْفِ سَكَنْتُمْ مِنْ وُجْدِكُمْ. Reside them, provide for them residence, the way you provide for yourself, from what you can afford and from what is available for you at the time of that marriage. And this is the final right when it comes to monetary rights. So the monetary rights for the wife due on the husband is the dowry and the maintenance and finally the dwelling or the place of residence. Inshallah, we will continue on the rights for the wives that are due upon their husbands, حقوق الزوجة على الزوج في اللقاء القادم. Next time we'll talk about the rights that are non-monetary, the rights that is not money-wise, other rights. What do women have upon us when it comes to rights? We'll talk about that, inshallah. Next time we meet, if we have, or if you have any question or any comment, inshallah, we will try to answer. Otherwise, subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Any questions?